Amen and amen. You may be seated. Thank you, team. Always a great song, Amazing Grace. And we are glad you're here today. We welcome you online. We welcome all of you who are here in person. What a great opportunity. And one of the things we've been doing over the last few weeks is starting to meet outside, very distant, with coffee and different things. So we're going to do that again today. So if you go out any of the doors, come back around this way and please greet and meet people. One of the negatives of COVID is that we can't talk a lot with people. We just kind of come in, sit, and then just kind of sneak our way out of these various exits. And we want to stop that. We want to make sure everybody is greeted and meet and spend some time together. So that'll be a great time afterwards as well. Well, today is Valentine's Day, I believe, so happy Valentine's to you and to your loved ones, and I hope that you appreciate all who are there. One of the things I want to say is I want to say a big thank you and appreciation to you. Back in December, for those who are visiting or online and have just joined us in the last few weeks, we had a 15-day time of prayer called Renew, where we asked each of us to pray 15 different prayers in the Bible and then to see what God would do with our relationship to Him, our relationship to the church, this church in particular, and then our relationship out to the city. And then we put some dollars to that to help us with ministry here and ministry out in the city, and it was $700,000, and this week we reached that goal. So praise God. This several days ago, it came through. And so about two-thirds has been in cash and another third has been in pledges. Many of you are increasing your tithe or your offering weekly or monthly. Thank you. And others are giving gifts throughout the year. If you'd still like to participate and you didn't, we would appreciate that. And you're able to do that. Just go out back to the connection desk and they'll tell you how you can do that. But thank you. I want to say thank you. And on Valentine's Day, to be able to report that, I think is fantastic. Also, what I want to do today is take a moment of prayer. I want us to, you know, we talked about our relationship to God, so that's the individual. We're going to be spending time in the Word about that in a few moments. But also, we talked about the church, to pray for our church. But today, what I want us to do is to pray for somebody else's church. Can you think of another church? Maybe the church you came from, maybe the church where you first found the Lord, maybe a church that is across town, just another church. So instead of us praying for our church, let's pray for someone else's church. Can we do that? I think it's important that we realize that as the body of Christ, we're not just a part of it here. We're a part of a larger organism called the church, capital C, around the world. And some of the church is being persecuted in various places like Iran and other places, Afghanistan. There are places here you might want to pray for. You might say, I just want to pray for the people and name a city and the church, and you don't even know the church, and I want you to do that. And then also when you pray, we talked about the city. So here's the church. We talked about the city. I want you to take a politician, and I want you to pray for that person. That man or woman could be our mayor, our county commissioner, our governor, the congressperson here, or a congressperson where you're from, the president, whatever, whoever it is, and I want you to pray for them. Can you do that? Now, sometimes, so I know what you're going to do, so I'm just going to say it already. You're going to pray for the one you like. Okay. Why don't you also pray for maybe one of them you don't like? How's that? You know, we think the people are the enemy. The people are the prize. God has called us to work with people. The people are the prize, so we have this kind of enemy group over here and a friend group over here, and we pray for our friend group over here, and we ignore our enemy group over here. But as Christians, we are not to have the enemies because the people are the prize. And so why don't you pray for someone you disagree with, maybe a politician you disagree with, and go, maybe I'm going to pray for them every day, him or her, every day for the next few weeks. 21 days makes a habit, so why don't you do that? And let us pray for those we may not agree with, because God can work through anyone, whether they agree with me or not. God's going to work through people. So let's do that right now. Let's take a moment, pray for a church. If you don't know any other church, if this is kind of your first time being introduced to Christ, then I'll pray for this church. But for the rest, pray for another church. We pray for our church all the time. Let's pray for somebody else's church and pray for a politician or two that you agree with or you even disagree, and let's just take a moment. If you're at home and you want to do it as well, we would love for you to do it, but we're going to take a moment right now. Everybody bow your heads and pray. So, Father, I pray for Spanish River Church today. I pray a blessing on that great church here in Boca. I pray as they are searching for a pastor and as they are greeting a potential new one next week and voting on him in the next week or two, that you would give him and the congregation wisdom as if they should come here or not and be a part of the Christian community here in Boca Raton. So I pray for them, Father, that you would give them all wisdom, and for Ron, as he leads the congregation as the executive pastor over these past months of time. Father, I pray for our city council, for Scott Singer, our mayor, and for Yvette and Monica and Andrea and Andy, our city council people, for Bob Weinroth, our county commissioner, for Ron DeSantis, our governor, for Mr. Biden, our president. I pray for them, Father. I pray you would give them wisdom and strength beyond their abilities to lead us and to guide us this coming year. I thank you, Father, also for each person in this room and each person on the live stream and those who will even be listening over the next days and months of time to this, that you would bring us closer to you because we have heard from you, we know you, and we love you. And I thank you in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen, amen. Well, today we're in the last chapter of 2 Thessalonians chapter 3. We're going to take 2 weeks on this. We're going to do the first 5 verses today and then the balance next week. And then we're going to go into 1 Timothy. So if you like to read ahead, we'll be in 1 Timothy. We'll also have journals that will be available in 1 Timothy in another week or so. If you like using those as I do and others do, we will have those journals available for you in the back in another week or so. They'll be coming in the next few days. I have asked Cameron Free to lead us in the Word today. So let's welcome Cameron as he opens the Word. Welcome, Cameron.
Thank you, Pastor Bill. It's great to be with you this morning. We're going to be in 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, beginning in verse 1. The word this morning is going to be both encouraging and challenging at the same time, and I invite you to participate in both of those. Let it encourage you, but also let it challenge you. 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse 1. Finally, brothers, pray for us that the word of the Lord may speed ahead and be honored, as happened among you, that we may be delivered from wicked and evil men, for not all have faith, but the Lord is faithful. He will establish you and guard you against the evil one, and we have confidence in the Lord about you, that you are doing and will do the things that we command. May the Lord direct your hearts to the love of God and to the steadfastness of Christ. What we see in these verses here is Paul praying for and inviting this young church to pray for him. Similar to what we just did, actually, many of you praying for other churches, and some of them might even be praying for you. We see Paul setting this great example that prayer is important. This young church full of young, new believers, Paul is setting the example to them of what they ought to do. And so he says, finally, brothers, he's kind of rounding the corner. He's getting to the last part of what he's saying here. And he says, pray. And Paul's going to ask for prayer in four areas. He says, pray for us. The us is Paul and the people that he's with. He's not with them now. He's writing this letter to them. And so Paul says, pray for first us. Well, why do they need prayer? We'll find out in a little bit why they need prayer. But I just love this reminder right at the beginning of these verses that we ought to pray for one another. One of the things that we see about Paul is his humility. Paul is asking these young believers to pray for him. Paul did not consider himself too big to ask for prayer, and he didn't consider these young believers too little to pray for him. So we see this tremendous humility. And he's also setting the example to young believers that prayer is important, and ultimately that prayer works. So he says, pray for us. And this is such a great example for us, for the way that we ought to interact, the ways that we ought to pray for one another. What a great example of true Christian community. The way we define it here is authentic community. It's one of our values. It is authentic community that these people would let people into their life, to let them into their struggle. Paul is struggling here during this time, and he's saying, pray for me. And I got to tell you, I think there are times when we should be faster at asking people to pray for us. We should be asking for prayer more often than we do. And there may be a variety of reasons why we don't. Maybe we don't think we need prayer. Maybe we're not doing things that we think require prayer. But maybe the Lord can do a work in your heart in that area. But we need to pray for each other. And deep, meaningful prayers, not just, I hope they have a great day, hope they're doing good. Like, there's some life and death stuff going on here during this time. This is like deep stuff, like pray for us. Like we're struggling right now. There are problems everywhere we look. Pray for us. Let this be an example to us that we ought to pray for one another quickly. We should ask for prayer. We should be willing to pray for one another. So we see him setting the example. He says, pray for us. And then he says, pray for the word of the Lord to speed ahead. Paul and the people that he's with trying to get the message out about Jesus. He wants to see the word of the Lord speed ahead or spread rapidly, go out to the people in the area, that the word would be taken out and would be heard by many. So he says, pray for us. Pray for the word to speed ahead. And then he says, pray for the word to be honored or to be glorified, some of your translations say. A good word in this area would be accepted. Let the word go out and let it actually be accepted. Let it be honored. Not everybody that hears the word, not everybody that hears about Jesus is going to receive it well. We know that they were facing persecution in difficult times, and we'll get to that in a minute. Not everyone that hears it receives it. So Paul is praying. He says, pray for us. Pray that the word of the Lord may speed ahead and be honored. Let it go out and let it be heard, accepted, received. One preacher worded it like this. He said, pray that the word would get out and get in. That the word would get out and get in. That it would move from the hearer's head and their ears into their heart. So Paul's praying for the word to get out and to get in. And he says, as happened among you. He's reminding this young church, remember, you were just once here. It wasn't that long ago that you didn't believe, you didn't know. And he's reminding them this transformation that can occur in lives has already occurred in their lives, which is a great reminder for so many reasons. It probably wasn't that long before this that the people remember going through, and they're not perfect yet, and so they're still struggling in some of these areas. And he's also saying, well, your lives were transformed by Jesus, and so now you need to go out and see other lives transformed, to share the gospel with others. So he says, pray for us that the word may speed ahead, that it would be honored. And then fourth, that we may be delivered from wicked and evil men. That we may be delivered from wicked and evil men. The gospel does not always find a heart that is receptive. When the word goes out, it doesn't always take root in that person's life. And so what he's observing, what they're observing, is wicked and evil men. They're facing some really, really tough times. And Paul is saying, pray for us. Pray that we would be delivered from these people. And I want to make a very clear distinction, because we may read it as a plea for personal safety, which it is not. It is not self-preservation for Paul saying, man, I really just want to be safe and comfortable, and all these bad things are happening, and it's just about me being safer. It's not that at all. His primary motivator is that the word would spread rapidly, that it would get out, and these people are hindering that from happening. He is not thinking of his own self and his own interests. He's thinking about the gospel getting out and getting into the hearts of the listeners. And as I was reflecting in my own life, and I was even thinking about conversations I've had with some of you, and just taking a stab in the dark real quick, I don't know that we would pray like this in this scenario. And I pray that we would, but I don't know that all of us would. We might pray, God, I'm really facing these tough times, and I really just want to be safe, and I'm really struggling. But he was yearning for the word of God to get out, to be heard, so that lives could be transformed. That was his primary motivator, not himself. He was not praying for his own comfort. He was praying that the word would get out. So he says, pray for us, pray that the word may speed ahead, be honored as happened among you, and be delivered from wicked and evil men. And this is a beautiful example of how we ought to pray for one another. Specific to them at this time, this is exactly what they were going through. We can see exactly what the struggles are, what the needs are. But this is a beautiful example for prayer. And it got me thinking. It really challenged me, because I was looking at what his prayer request list was, these four things. And there's not a lot of selfishness in these prayers. It's selflessness. And so as I was thinking, man, he's praying like this. Well, what do my prayer requests look like sometimes? And I kind of did a little bit of an audit on my own prayer, and I'm thinking, man, I don't know that I always pray like this. If this is the example, if this is how we should pray, as Paul is on the front lines of battle, sharing the gospel with people and facing persecution, these are his prayers. Man, I don't know if my prayers always look like that. Like, yeah, they're there, but is my list also filled with selfish things? And it reminded me of a question that somebody asked me a number of years ago, and the question was, if all of your prayers were answered today, how many people would get saved? And I was just kind of stunned in silence, and I had the wrong response, and so I started counting, like, 1, 2, 3, 4, yeah, And I don't know that a particular number was the right response. They weren't looking for me to respond with a number. It was more of an attitude, like, when you look at all the things that you're praying for on a regular basis, as you're praying for yourself, praying for others, is there a selflessness to your prayers? Is the priority of your prayer to see God and his word be honored, be glorified, be taken to people that don't yet know it? We sang this song, "My chains are gone, I've been set free." There are groups of people whose chains are not gone, who have not been set free. Are your prayers, are our prayers prayed with that in mind? And for some of us, maybe it's a yes. For some of us, maybe it's a no. And that is why this is both encouraging and challenging at the same time. And so what he says is, for not all have faith. He's saying that the word needs to get out and that these people are having this response because not all have faith. Maybe spoken a little bit differently, not all have the faith. Not all believe Jesus. Not all are going to believe, and not all don't. And that's why these things are going on. Not all have faith. And then he connects it to the next phrase, and this is such a beautiful phrase. If this isn't underlined in your Bible, I encourage you to do it. Not all have faith, but the Lord is faithful. We could just sit on that for a little bit. Like we could just think, pray, meditate on that and be done for the morning. Not all have faith, but the Lord is faithful. That's good. That is such good news. It's good news for Paul and what he was going through. It's good news for us as we're sharing the gospel with others. It's good news for us every day of our life. Not all have faith, but the Lord is faithful. And there's two sides to this. One, the primary meaning, what Paul's saying here, he's facing all of these challenging times as he's sharing the gospel. And he says, not all have faith, but the Lord is faithful. Not all believe, but even in the midst of sharing the gospel, having it received sometimes, having it be rejected other times, facing persecution, even amidst all of those things that come with people not having faith, the Lord is still faithful. What Paul is doing is that he's lifting their eyes from the faithlessness of people to the faithfulness of God. He's taking their view off of circumstances, and I would imagine he's even reminding himself in this moment to lift the eyes from the faithlessness of people to the faithfulness of God. Not all have faith, but the Lord is faithful. Regardless of what's going on in your life, regardless of the challenges you're facing, as you're sharing the gospel, as people may be receiving it or not, specific what he's talking about here, regardless of what happens, he knows and he's reminding them that the Lord will be faithful. If the word is rejected, Lord is faithful. If the word is accepted, honored, glorified, the Lord is still faithful. He's faithful regardless of the result. And you got to remember that Paul had seen some things. He had seen a lot of stuff. This is Paul, who used to be Saul, who was there at the stoning of Stephen. He was there. He knows what these people are capable of and what they're willing to do to harm human lives because he used to be there. He remembers. He remembers what they're willing to do. He knows what's at stake. And he's reminding them, in the midst of all of those things, the Lord is faithful. Run to the Lord as you face these difficult times. And as I thought about this in my own life, what do I run to when things get difficult? What do I run to? Do I run to the Lord? Do I run to other things? When you were younger, did you have somebody, when you were facing a difficult time, maybe somebody was mistreating you, did you have that person that you knew you could rely on, that you could run to? Maybe it was a parent, maybe it was a sibling or an aunt or uncle, that when something was going wrong, you knew that that person had your back. I'm remembering a particular time when I was in middle school and I was on a playground and these kids were kind of picking on me and one of them threw me to the ground, which was kind of different for me because I was in church most of the time, and I was homeschooled, so I hadn't really experienced much of that. So I got thrown to the ground, and it kind of took me by surprise, and then I popped back up, and I wasn't scared. I was a little like, okay, this is a little weird. I'm having this confrontation, but I knew that my dad was about 30 feet behind me, and so I popped up and was like, oh, that's what we're going to do here? I'll be right back. Hey, Dad, those guys right there. And I'm like, my dad is going to destroy you. My dad's going to destroy your dad too. Like, remember talking trash as a kid? Well, my dad could beat up your dad. Like, what does that even mean? You think that your dad is like the strongest person, but that's what I ran to. I knew that I had that safety net. I knew that regardless of what was going on, boom, dad, get him. And my dad's like, what are you doing? Stop talking trash. I'm not beating anybody up. So he talked to the other guy's dad, and it's a good thing because my dad is about my height, and the other dad was way taller and bigger, would have lost the fight potentially. I knew that my dad had my back, and I ran to him immediately. Is God the... Is he who you run to right away? When you're facing a difficult time, do you immediately remember, well, God is faithful. God is faithful. Is that your knee-jerk reaction? And I would imagine that sometimes it might not be. And that's okay. But Paul's giving us this as a reminder that in the midst of whatever it is you're going through, the Lord is faithful. He can be trusted. Whether you're sharing the gospel, whether there's people trying to chase you down, kill you, the Lord is faithful. So that's the primary meaning that we see here. Not all have faith, but the Lord is faithful. But if you take a step back, there's a more general meaning here. What Paul is sharing is that he's contrasting the way that people are and the way that God is. There's a huge difference in the way that people are and the way that God is. Not all have faith, but the Lord is faithful. And sometimes we think so much about people. Maybe we're relying on people too much. Maybe we're relying on the opinions of others and what other people think of us instead of what God knows about us. Not all have faith, but the Lord is faithful. Not all people can be trusted, but the Lord is trustworthy. Not all people are going to meet your expectations, but the Lord is going to exceed them. Not everybody knows what you're going through. The Lord knows what you're going through. We don't look to people to satisfy something that only God can satisfy. Not all have faith, but the Lord is faithful. And I would imagine if I've heard some of the stories from many of you, and I would imagine there's so many that we just haven't heard of the Lord being faithful in your lives, taking you through things that you didn't know how you were going to get through it at that moment, but he brought you through again and again, and a family member struggling, and divorce, and problems with your kids, and whatever the thing may be, and God has faithfully brought you through. And it's easy to see that God has been faithful in the rearview mirror. It's easier to see that with that perspective. But God's faithful now. He's faithful in the future. He's been faithful. God is faithful. Remind yourself of how faithful God has been in your life. Not all have faith, but the Lord is faithful. And we see here specifically how the Lord is going to be faithful to this particular people in this scenario. The Lord is faithful in so many ways, and these are just a few of them. He says, he will establish you and guard you against the evil one. He will establish you and guard you against the evil one. Establish, as in strengthen, as in prepare you, and guard you. He's also going to protect you. So there's an internal piece to this and an external. God is going to prepare you for both of them because you're going to face evil people, wicked people, people that want to harm you, and even potentially the evil one. And God is going to be faithful, and he's going to establish you in the midst of all of it. Verse 4, and we have confidence in the Lord about you, that you are doing and will do the things that we command. So Paul is saying that he has confidence in the Lord about them. He's not saying, I have confidence in you people. He's saying, I have confidence in the Lord about you, that you are doing and will do the things that we command. God is faithful, and with that faithfulness comes a willing obedience to do the things that he asks us to do. Really hard to pray for the word of the Lord to spread and be accepted without actually accepting it in your own life. And so he says, we have confidence in the Lord about you. And then he ends with a prayer. He begins by asking for prayer, and he's asked for it many, many times in his writings, and he ends with a prayer. May the Lord direct your hearts to the love of God and to the steadfastness of Christ. And when I saw this, I thought, man, how can Paul have confidence but then still need to pray for them? Like, if he was so confident, why did he still pray? And maybe it's because he was confident because what he prayed he knew would be true, that the Lord would direct their hearts to the love of God, that if they're walking with God, that he is going to sustain them and he's going to continue to direct their hearts to the love of God and the steadfastness of Christ. Even though Paul was confident in the outcome, he still prayed. He still prayed for the outcome to happen, knowing that their obedience is probably not going to happen on their own merit. If it's up to us, we would just disobey all the time, but through the power of God, through the Lord directing our hearts to his love, we can obey. And to the steadfastness of Christ. May the Lord direct your hearts to the love of God and to the steadfastness of Christ. There's so many great things in this text, so many great themes for us to pick up on. Prayer, evangelism, leading young believers as they go about their journey, actually going out and sharing the gospel. The reason they're facing these difficult times is because they were actually going out and sharing. That's why they encountered these things. And so as you're thinking in your own life, in your own heart right now, I want to encourage you to be thinking, praying what it is that God has for you in this text. There's a number of different things that God could be trying to tell you, maybe something to challenge you, maybe something to encourage you. There's three primary takeaways that I want to get into that I think we see in this text. And if you're taking notes, I encourage you to write these down. Three things that we ought to do. First, acknowledge our daily dependence on God. Acknowledge our daily dependence on God. Paul didn't hardly do anything without praying. He was praying over every part of his life. He asked for prayer. He prayed for them. And we see this pattern in his writings. Everything he did, he was dependent on God for. So as you think through your own life, maybe there's some things in your life that you're not depending on God for. Maybe because you don't think God belongs in that area of your life. Maybe you think you can do it without him. And I gotta encourage you, think through what it is you're doing. Sometimes it's possible to think that we're doing what God wants us to do, except without him being a part of the picture. This is not about relying on our own strength. This is about giving it up to the Lord, praying that he would control the outcome, that he would change us in such a way, make us into what he wants us to be, so that we can accomplish what he's trying to accomplish. We need to acknowledge our daily dependence on the Lord. The second thing I want to encourage us to do, pray that the gospel would get out and get in. And if this is not a part of your regular prayer list or however it is you pray, I want to encourage you to add it. This is just a very general way of describing it. Maybe you will pray specifically for specific outcomes of specific people, specific opportunities. But in a general sense, pray that the gospel will get out, that it will be heard, and maybe you'll even be a part of making it heard, and that it will get in. And third, remember that God's word will accomplish God's work. God's word will accomplish God's work. This isn't about our own abilities. This isn't about us just doing the right thing. The reason that Paul is praying for the word to speed ahead, to spread, to be honored, to be accepted, is because that is how lives are transformed. Lives are transformed by this book and by the gospel of Jesus Christ, the good news that he died for our sins when we couldn't do that ourselves, so that we can have life with him now and forever. Remember that God's word will accomplish God's work. That we pray for the word of the Lord to speed ahead, to be honored, to be accepted. So these are some of the takeaways that we see in this text, and you might be seeing or thinking through something else, and I want to encourage you to do that, to continue to pray that God would reveal himself through this text to you. And as we close, I want to share a story, something that happened several years ago. My wife, Sarah, asked if we could participate in a race, a running race, like on your own 2 feet race. And this race was going to be at Disney, which is kind of cool, and it was going to be 10 miles long. Now, if you've ever looked at me before, you could probably tell that I don't normally run 10 miles. Didn't really have the idea, didn't want the idea, but supportive of you, willing to do things with you that I don't necessarily want to do, and all of that. And it's not that I didn't want to. I mean, I did not want to, but that wasn't the only reason why I didn't want to do it. I just had this visual of the race starting and her and our friend that we were with just taking off running, and me at the back of the race trying to avoid the bus that slowly creeps behind all the runners, and if you don't stay in front of the bus, you have to get on the bus, and your race is over. And I just didn't want that experience. We signed up for the race. I was willing to do it, and unfortunately, about 6 weeks prior to the race, I injured my knee. I actually injured my knee. It was so unfortunate. I was on some slippery pavement, and my knee went this way, and my foot went this way, and it just was not a good ending, and I sprained one of the ligaments in my knee. I have an actual MRI to prove that I should not have been running that 10-mile race. Promise. So race day happened, and we got up there, and I had paid for the registration, and so what I got was a bib to say that I was in the race. And I wasn't in the race, but to actually get into the Disney park, I had to have something. I'd have a ticket or something, and so Sarah and our friend went to start the race. Mind you, this was at like 10 o'clock at night, so it's dark and it's 10 miles, and you run all through Disney property, and then you end up going in the back gate into the main theme park, and then you finish at the finish line there. And so I went to the front gate with the bib in my hand. The race had started. I walked up to the front. It was dark, and they weren't really letting that many people in, and I said, I was supposed to be in the race, but I'm not in the race, and so can you just let me in? So they let me in, and I went to go find the finish line so that I would know where it was going to end, and they got the music playing and chairs lined up, and it's all really, really cool. And so I sat there, and I was kind of like, well, I wish I was running the race a little bit, but mostly not. And so I'm sitting there, and I pulled up on my phone the race website, because what it would allow you to do is it would allow you to track the runners that were running this race. They're at the 2 mile, they're at the 5 mile, they're going, because there's a little sensor in the back of this bib that allows you to know where the runners are, and there's little things as you go along the way. And so Sarah's doing great, she's running, it's awesome, and so I'm just kind of wandering around the park waiting for this to end, and I went out of searching for her name, and I went to the leaderboard, and I saw that the winner had already finished, which I thought was crazy, because it had only been like 30 minutes. 10 miles, 30 minutes, humanly impossible. Can we all agree on that? 10 miles, 30 minutes, definitely not possible. You guys want to know who the winner was? Me. I won that race. If you haven't figured it out yet, it's because the sensor on the back of my bib got close enough to the finish line that it triggered, and I was the winner. Man, that race was so tiring, just took a lot out of me. And obviously they figured it out and they cleared my name out because I didn't hit all of the other mile markers along the way. And I was just cracking up. So then Sarah finished and our friend finished, and it was a great time, and I got to tell them and laugh about the time that I won a race. And what was crazy is that there were people there that were participating in the race, that actually ran the race, and then there were people that didn't run the race. And I didn't run the race, but what was crazy is that I signed up for the race, and I had the bib, and I was at the race when it started, and I was near the finish line as it was ending, but I was definitely not in that race, not even close. And what's crazy is that many of us are not in the race either. We show up to church, we got our Bible, we're here, we look like we're participating in what's going on here, but we may not be. So as we look at this text, as we see the things, this is what we're supposed to pray about. These are the people that we're supposed to be sharing the gospel with. This is the way that God has been faithful in our life. We should be depending on Him for everything. Maybe you look at some of those things and you look like you're involved with what's going on here, but you would not look at those things and say that they're true about your life. You look at some of those things and go, I mean, I'm here, but I don't know that I could honestly say that God is faithful to me, that I've experienced His faithfulness. So what I want to encourage us to do for a minute, Clay is going to play some nice music, and what I want you to do in your own seat is to just bow in prayer. We're going to do this for a couple of minutes, just you and God, and I want you to pray through one of the things that He showed you in His Word today, one of the things He brought to mind, brought to your heart. Maybe you look like you're a part of this whole God thing, but maybe there's something in this text that jumps out to you. I'm just not doing that. I don't know that I'm actually running with Jesus. And so we're going to take a minute. I want to encourage you to pray, just you and God, and we'll come back in a few minutes and close. Good. We thank You that You are faithful, and I pray that the words that we've read this morning would be true about our lives, that we would depend on You daily, that we would want to see Your gospel taken out into the world so that others can have life the way that we've experienced life. And I pray that You would do the work that only You can do that we cannot do. I pray for all the different prayers that have been prayed here in this room over the last several minutes and even this morning. I pray that lives would be transformed, that You would be showing us the things in our life that are not honoring and glorifying to You. That there would be actual life transformation occurring in our lives and not just the appearance of it. I pray for each person, as even as their prayers are continuing now, even as some of them may choose to come forward and pray with our prayer team, I pray that You would do a work in our lives that only You can do, that You would get the glory, and that we would have the opportunity to see Your faithfulness again and again and again in our lives. We pray this in Jesus' name.